Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. We just got back from delivering a leadership workshop. It's a leadership development program for one of our clients. And we love working with great clients who are supportive of developing other leaders in their culture and developing a leadership culture and helping their leaders to take their leadership potential and performance to the next level. One of the centerpiece programs that we offer is called The Invisible Hand of Leadership. And it's an idea that I first got many years ago in studying organizations and looking at how different organizations led and why people led a certain way, and tracing almost the genealogy of leaders within an organization to see who they worked for and who they were inspired by and what principles they picked up from other leaders, and then how that translated into how they led and motivated other people. And along the way, develop some ideas and a workshop and programs and research and begin to test these ideas out and working with a lot of different types of clients, from nonprofit organizations to churches to Fortune 50 companies to sports organizations and all kinds of organizations in different industries to experiment with these ideas and to develop leaders within these companies and these teams. And it's resonated with people. And like I said, we love bringing this workshop into a lot of different types of organizations and seeing their reactions to it. And we're always growing from the process of having those conversations and presenting the material. And the idea is that you become visible and active in the lives of other people, and you want to have a visible presence in developing other leaders. But that it just doesn't stop there, that translates into an invisible hand of leadership that permeates the halls and walls of a company and the culture of an organization, and that you see other leaders developing leaders in the right way down the line. And some of those leaders you may never meet or see or be able to have an impact in their lives, but you do through other people. And that's where the invisible hand comes into play. I think that when you go into any organization, you can see that there's this invisible culture that translates into the way they do things, how they live out their core values, how they interact with each other. And that was first made present by, you know, having a visible impact of leaders within the organization. So it's interesting for me to study organizations and to do the work that we do through consulting and coaching and bringing programs in to understand the mission of an organization and also to understand their core values and how those core values are lived out amongst the teams and how they lead and in their leadership culture as well. Principles and some of the things that are part of our leadership development program, this invisible hand of leadership, is we basically have seven roles and five practices. And the seven roles of leadership are really around the identity of as a leader. As we've studied great leaders and great leaders of all kinds of organizations and done a lot of research and working with great leaders, we've identified these seven roles of leadership. And the seven roles are: the leader is lead learner. We feel like that a great leader is a lead learner, somebody who is growing and developing and never stops growing in their process as a leader. They never reach this feeling of that they've arrived, and they're out there leading the charge. There's a teaching aspect to that too, but there's also that I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm reading, and I'm sharing that information with other people. The second role is a leader's activator, and that's somebody who not only activates through doing things themselves, but is able to activate the performance of other people. So it's this idea of being able to lead and lead through others. And that's a challenge for leaders as they get promoted, because they get promoted based more on what they do, not necessarily how they do it through other people. And so when they reach a title of leader as a manager or a director or an executive level in an organization, they have to learn to be an activator, to not only be able to accomplish things themselves, but be able to accomplish through other people. the third, fourth, and fifth role of leadership, and this is something I'm going to focus on today in this podcast, we distinguish the leader as coach, the leader as counselor, and the leader as mentor. And this has to deal with the art and science of leadership and how you listen in that process as well. We look at the leader as coach as really the art of leadership. That's the ability to be able to give feedback, to help the confidence level of other people, to get a team to go out and perform on game day. And being able to coach and teach in the right way is very important. And the feedback that you give to your employees or to your team members and the people that you lead and influence is very important, and being effective with that. The leader as counselor is just really focused on listening. I think when we think about a counselor, we often think about somebody who has wisdom and gives great advice. But if you think about the best counselors and just the profession of counseling, they have to be great listeners. And I think as a leader, you have to focus on that and distinguish and practice that skill. And then the last one that we're going to talk about today is the leader as mentor. And this is somebody who is a leader who is structured in their guidance and instruction. They are able to maybe give specific help in a certain area. And we're going to talk about some considerations both as a mentor and as a mentee of things that you need to focus on. And then two additional roles that are in our Invisible Hand of Leadership workshop that we won't be focusing on today, but possibly in a future podcast, is this idea as a leader as designer, somebody who's putting people in a position of success and is designing the right strategy and the right play for people to perform, leveraging their strengths and their abilities and gifts and talents. And then the final role in the seven roles of a leader is the leader as servant leader. And we think this is foundational to the other roles that I mentioned. This is somebody who is serving the needs of other people, that's leveraging their influence and power to put people in a position of success and to remove roadblocks and to facilitate people being successful in their careers and accomplishing their goals and maximizing their potential. The thing that I want to focus on today is this idea of a coach, mentor, and counselor, and I'm going to use those interchangeably, even though I described them and distinguishing them in the intro of this podcast. But I want to give you a top 10 list for ways to enhance your role as a coach, mentor, or counselor. And then I also want to give you 10 considerations to enhance your role as a mentee or a counselee. So you're probably in a role, whether you're in a leadership role or not, you probably have mentors in your life and you are a mentor to other people. And I want you to think about it in those terms. And we'll combine these roles for the sake of discussion today in this podcast. But to think about not only how you coach, mentor, and counselor others, I'm going to give you 10 ideas on that, but also on being on the receiving end, how you can maximize that relationship. If you have a mentor in your life and you're being coached by somebody or you're a mentee of somebody, how you can maximize that relationship. So let's start with the 10 ideas to enhance your role as a coach, mentor, or counselor. The first one is to constantly ask the question, am I unleashing the creative brain cells of my people? So, you know, in thinking about that, that's not just a rote answer. At the end of the day, as a leader, you need to be asking that. Am I unleashing the creative brain cells of my people? And that's not something we often ask as a leader. Mainly it's, did we get things done today? Did our team get things done? Okay, we're good. But to have true innovation and have true creativity, this is a great assessment as a leader. How am I inspiring creativity or instilling a culture that drives towards innovation? And if I'm not doing that, what are some ways that I can do that? Am I stifling creativity? Do I shut people off either, you know, consciously or unconsciously by jumping into conversations or to cut people off from sharing ideas and they feel like they can't take risk? So I think one of the things that's really key about this is that to ask the question also as a follow-up to that, am I providing the right opportunities for them And am I matching up their talents and passions with the opportunities that are out there? I think you have to truly understand your people and understand what their talents are and what they're passionate about, and try to match that with the opportunities that you have in getting things done, whether it's a project or an initiative or just accomplishing the goals of the business for this year or for the vision for the company in the years to come. But a key question again is, number one, am I unleashing the creative brain cells of my people? And if not, how do I do that? The second consideration to enhance your role as a leader is to view the recruitment and development of talent as your number one priority. Strategy is important. Having goals is important. Getting things done is important. But if you don't have the right people and you don't develop those people, then the strategy, the best strategy in the world, the best goals in the world are going to fall by the wayside because you haven't recruited the right people and you haven't developed them in their roles. So you have to make sure that you're doing that, and that being this connoisseur of talent, as Warren Bennis used to say, is really important to make sure that you're developing that talent and retaining that talent as well. The third consideration is to take responsibility for their careers. If you're a leader of people, if you're a coach or a counselor or a mentor to other people, you have to take responsibility for their careers. Now, it's up to them also and up to the individual to take responsibility for their careers, but it's a two-way street. You have to make sure that if somebody is working with you, for you in that capacity, or you're in a counseling role or a mentoring role for them, that you own that and you do everything that you can to facilitate their success and to help them accomplish their goals and maximize their potential. The fourth consideration as a leader is to know the people you're mentoring, counseling, and coaching. So you have to know them. You got to get to know them. You got to know their personally and professionally, and to know their dreams and their goals and their passions. Instead of just sitting down this week with them to ask about status on projects and things like that, maybe it's taking the time to understand what they did this weekend and what they're really passionate about outside of work, and to know what their career goals are beyond the initiative they're working on for you. What do they want to accomplish? You know, what do they see themselves doing in 5 years? What are some of the things that really get them fired up about life and about, outside of work, how they spend their time and invest their time? But knowing that can help you in developing their careers and knowing them and giving them the right advice as well. And who knows, you may be sharing some of the same talents and passions you just didn't know outside of work as well as within work. The fifth consideration as a leader is to model the way. And I think this is leading by example. If there are core values that you're trying to instill in them, if there's a work ethic or any type of thing that you're trying to do from a process perspective or just helping them to develop in their careers, you have to model the way. We can't just sit back and say, well, this is what you should do, or I didn't do this, but you need to do this. You need to model the way that you're trying to teach them and lead them and guide them towards. And that way they can see this. This is never more apparent than for me as a father in having five boys and five watchful eyes that are watching what I do and how I do it. And, as they were young and even as they've gotten older, I've realized that they're always watching. Sometimes I may not think they're listening. They always are listening, but I may not think they are as they've gotten older. But they're always watching, and they're watching to make sure that my actions match up to my words. And it's been the same at work for me as well, to make sure that if I'm asking somebody to do something, that I'm modeling the way and modeling that be it serving as a model of integrity for them, that I'm doing what I say I'm going to do. A sixth consideration for enhancing your role as a coach, a counselor, or a mentor is to pave the way. So modeling the way is about leading by example. Paving the way is using your leverage and power to facilitate the way for them to accomplish their goals and get things done. We constantly need, as leaders, to ask, what challenges are you experiencing and how can I help? How can I remove roadblocks for people? How can I get out ahead and provide sponsorship and say, this person who's working for me is going to be calling you and I want you to respond to them and this is what they're going to be working on. And using my influence and my power and my leadership abilities to be able to make it easier for them to accomplish what they need to accomplish. Not just saying, here, go do something, but actually pave the way for them to accomplish those things. Another consideration, a seventh consideration to enhance your role as a leader, is to spend time with your people. And a better word for that would be to invest time with your people. Not just spending time because you have to, or not just meeting informally with the people you lead because you're required to give informal feedback or to have an informal coaching relationship with them, but to truly invest time with them. And I think as a leader, having a purpose for that, not that you over-formalize it or over-structure it down to the minute as far as what you're going to discuss, but have some key themes, you know, on a monthly basis that you want to try to share with the people you lead. Ask great questions. Invest time with them and allow them to ask questions of you and to make sure that you're investing in a relationship that is going to pay off down the line. And not just in terms of profits, but in the relationship that you're building with them to have leadership influence in their lives and to help them really truly develop into a leader that will far surpass the things that you could accomplish just on your own. Developing a relationship with them is important. That's what investing time with your people is all about. The eighth consideration as a leader is to listen empathically. We need to make sure that we enhance our listening abilities and to work on that, to develop that skill, and that we hear both heart and head what they're saying and make sure that we understand both the facts of what they're saying and the feelings and emotion and passion. And again, as a leader, especially in a maybe more corporate formal setting, we don't often talk about feelings, you know, at work. But it's important to understand when you're trying to understand the heart of a person and what really is going to motivate them to listen empathically about issues, about challenges, even about opportunities, and to connect head and heart as far as where they're coming from so that we can repeat that back to them and truly understand what they're feeling and what they're communicating. And that's where deeper communication happens. And where we can then guide direction in the right response to them, based on how we listen and how we're able to hear what's being said and maybe what's not being said as well. The ninth consideration that I want to give you to enhance your role as a coach, counselor, or mentor is to motivate and encourage your people. And maybe inspire would be a better word. Often debates about whether you can really motivate people or inspire the motivation in a person. But whatever word that you like there, I think it's important to work for inspirational people. I mean, I think people want to work for people they're inspired by. I remember working with a guy and he was talking about this other leader in an organization that he was working for, and quite frankly, just said, that guy doesn't inspire anybody. And, people didn't want to come to work. They didn't want to work for this person. And this person had no vision for where they were going. And I think it's just important to make sure that you're inspiring people with the vision that you have. And you don't have to be the most charismatic person or charismatic leader to inspire people. I think when you speak with passion about a vision or about a goal, or even a task or something that means a lot to you, that can inspire other people. And I've seen some people who would never get in front of a room or, you know, be the first one to give the rah-rah speech, but they can really inspire other people and influence them because their eyes light up when they start talking about something they're very passionate about. So I believe that anybody can inspire people, and also encouraging your people. It's important to praise them, to encourage them, to let them know they've done a job that's very good, because many times people walk away and they don't understand, you know, what they've done well, or, you know, if they're doing a good job and how they're doing a good job and what a good job looks like. And you want to make sure that you reinforce that because it's very important. The 10th consideration, as you know, to enhance your role as a coach, mentor, or counselor, is to care about your people. And again, caring is not usually a word we use at work, but I think in any kind of setting, letting people know that you care about them through your words and actions are so important. And the reason that all of these things are very important is that engagement tends to be at I wouldn't say an all-time low, but in the research that we've done and seen with Gallup, you know, employee engagement is always one of the top five issues that keep executives up at night. And it continues to go down as far as people being fully engaged at work. And you can make the argument that that's up to the individual. They need to come engaged. They're getting paid to be engaged and do a great job. But it gets down to good versus great and compliance versus commitment. And with truly engaged organizations that are full of truly engaged employees, you see commitment. You see head and heart being, you know, doing the task and serving the clients and serving the customers every day. With commitment, with compliance rather, and maybe disengaged or not as actively engaged employees, you see people who can still do a good job, but it's more transactional. It's not truly transformational in the way that they work with each other and the way that they serve their clients and customers. But with the best organizations, they're truly committed and it's heart and head. And they have leaders who exhibit the 10 things that I just mentioned that are very important in any organization. Before I share with you the 10 key considerations to enhance your role on the opposite end of this, being a mentee or a counselee, I want to share with you some stats that relate to what I was just saying about engagement. Stephen Covey, in his book, The Eighth Habit, described a poll of 23,000 employees that was drawn from a number of companies and industries, and they actually commissioned Harris Interactive to do this survey. 23,000 employees, all levels of organizations and all industries. And the report of the poll's findings, here's just a few of the findings, which was very disheartening. Only 37% said they have a clear understanding of what the organization is trying to achieve and why. Only 1 in 5 was enthusiastic about their teams and their organization's goals. Only 1 in 5 said they had a clear line of sight between their task and their teams and organization's goals. Only 15% felt that their organization fully enables them to execute key goals, and only 20% fully trusted the organization they work for. Those are some very disheartening and disillusioning statistics. Stephen Covey summarized it in The Eighth Habit and matched it up to a soccer team, and he gave this analogy. He said, if, say, a soccer team had these same scores that I just read to you, this means that only 4 of the 11 players on the field would know which goal is theirs, only 2 of the 11 would care, and only 2 of the 11 would know what position they play and know exactly what they are supposed to do. And all but 2 players would in some way be competing against their own team members rather than their opponent. And I doubt whether it's at home, in the community, or work, that you want people competing against each other and not working to accomplish the goal and not being passionate about that and not really understanding the things that they do daily, whether it be task or just how they live their lives, contribute or distract from that. So there you have it, 10 considerations as a leader and looking at yourself as a coach, mentor, or counselor. And you may be able to look at the roles that you play and the different relationships that you have. And you may be a coach in one instance or a mentor in another or a counselor, or you may be providing all of these roles of leadership to the people who are on your team. But working through those 10 considerations, I think, is very important. On a future podcast, I'm going to come back to 10 considerations of your role as a mentee or counselee and how to find a mentor and how important that is, and we'll probably do that in the coming weeks. But thinking about your role as a leader in providing this, providing coaching and mentoring and counseling to others, it's a very important role that you play in each of those. And you need to make sure that you do that with passion, with purpose, and strategic investment in other people. As you saw from the engagement studies that have been done, and there's a lot that have been done out there that paint a picture that is very dismal, you can have an incredible impact to lead with purpose and to create an organization or a team that is focused and fully engaged, heart and head, and being able to develop leaders who serve people in the community and serve clients well, and to be one of those great companies. So think about it. Think about, are you unleashing the creative brain cells of your people? Are you recruiting and developing the right people for the right roles? Are you taking responsibility for their careers as a leader? Are you getting to know them? And are you knowing them personally and professionally, and knowing what their dreams are and what the activators are that are really going to help them perform at the next level and really have breakthrough performances? Are you modeling the way for them? Are you leading by example? Are you paving the way for them? Are you removing roadblocks and being able to put them in a position of success by your leveraging your leadership and power and influence? Are you investing time with them and truly developing a relationship with them? And are you listening to them empathically and with a purpose and hearing what's been said and what's not being said? And are you inspiring them and encouraging them on a weekly and daily and monthly basis? And at the end of the day, are you caring about them? Because if you truly care about their development, you'll be doing the other things that are part of that because you care about what they're accomplishing and how they're developing as a leader. You have an incredible role as a leader, and you've been put in that position for a reason. And again, whether you think about it at home first and then in your community or in the role that you play at work, it's a very important role to play. And I just want to encourage you to continue to develop as a leader and to embrace the opportunity that you have, not just the duty that you have as a leader and the certain job responsibilities that come with leading a group of people, but to seek out those opportunities to lead well and to serve the people that you lead. If there's anything that we can do for you, I encourage you to check out our website. Check out my website at www.mikevanhooser.com. And we have resources up there, and some of the resources that we do through Athenian Consulting Group or through the coaching programs that we have, we want to help you. And whether it's developing a talent development program or if it's bringing one of our leadership workshops into your organization, we would love to do that. And so you can check out the speaking and coaching page on my website. Check out some of the blog articles that are there. And we would love to bring the invisible hand of leadership into your organization and help you develop a leadership culture that matters. Thanks again for tuning in to the podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, I encourage you to do that and to pass on this link to other people. And we would love to get your feedback and comments on the podcast as well, and maybe know about future topics that you want to hear about. Again, we try to focus on leadership and teamwork and high performance. And so some of these deal with performance in sports, business, and life, and with the focus of developing leaders in all three of those areas. So thanks again for listening, and make it a great week.